Hi, my name is Maria Luisa, and I'm the lucky, blessed daughter of an alcoholic. And thank you so much for District 14 for giving me the privilege to serve today. Well, I will read my notes because, I mean, I will check my notes. When one of my best friends in Tijuana invited me to Al-Anon because I was calling her frequently, like, oh, my husband is doing this, and my husband is doing this, and I'm not doing nothing, but my husband doing it, this and that. She say, I think you two need help. And I was like, yeah, I can go with him too. No problem, I'm the cool person. So she mentioned this Al-Anon. I was living in the Bay Area, and I was like, well, that's in Tijuana. And she said, no, this is all around the world. And I was, okay. So I say, okay, how much for that? And I want to pay for everything. So she said, no, it's free, but you just need to have a family or friend that is affecting your life because of their way to, or their relationship with alcohol. I think and didn't find anybody. I was like, well, my dad was an alcoholic, but I only live 15 days of my life with him. That doesn't affect me. Then I was adopted to another family who my stepfather was an alcoholic, but I didn't respect him like a figure or role model. So that didn't affect me too. So I call her again and say, what can I do? Can I pay for somebody to come with me or something? Because no alcoholics in my life. So she very kindly, she say, well, I remember that you say something about your father-in-law, that he has this relationship with alcohol. And I was like, oh, yeah, sure. He, alcoholic, totally. And she say, well, maybe you can say that maybe the way how your husband grew up now is affecting your marriage. Perfect. I mean, so I went there, and it was maybe for the second week that I say, yeah, my father was an alcoholic, and my stepfather, and all my sisters are married with an alcoholics, and I was super smart. I didn't marry an alcoholic, right? I married the son of an alcoholic, just like me, right? So growing in an alcoholic home, I learned not to feel, just to resist, to feel guilty for a lot of things that are not your business, that you didn't cause, you cannot control, and you can't cure. I learned to feel shame for being an adopted child, to be a victim. That was the best thing that I learned. I learned to judge very hard and to be judged very hard too, and to pretend that I don't care. Ah, I'm laughing, can you see? You can't hurt me. Because I can't, you can't hurt me. You will never see me vulnerable. There's no way you or anybody can hurt me. I learned to keep secrets, to try to be forever trying and trying to be perfect. I learned to not to shine. It wasn't okay to be smart. You are the adopted child. You cannot be in better position than your stepsisters. I learned three very strong and very important things in my family to be accepted. One, it was, if you are rich, The second one, if you are a man, I'm Mexican, and man is always right. And, or if you have cancer, when somebody in the family has cancer, nobody criticizes them again. We all pretend she or him was the perfect person. We love him. We are all kind, and we are a beautiful family. So very young, I decided that I will go to university, which that was not a good thing in my family because I was a woman, what I was thinking. So I study business administration, and I marry a businessman. Things were not very good in that marriage because, well, I didn't mention nothing like I learned during my childhood, that I learned how to communicate or how to be present, how to express my feelings. I didn't learn to forgive, to be kind with me or with any other human. So all these things was like kind of necessarily for a good marriage. So the father of my daughters didn't learn to that in his alcoholic environment. So, but the thing with being rich, that part was a common goal because he grew up poor, just like me. So we did a very good thing. I have the theory, he has the experience, and he has the guts to be very risky on business. So being rich, check. My family respect me, they accept me, they don't criticize my daughters, at least in front of me. So my daughters were a princess, the business growing and growing. We sold our first million, the second, the third, the business growing, the stress growing, the fights growing, and the violent behavior growing too. But that was not very important because that was like collateral damage, right? On the goal of being rich. But because of this program, I finally could be in touch with myself and start feeling and accepting and questioning my denial. My perfect family was not too perfect. So after 2 years in this program, I decide to divorce. Was a very difficult process, but I'm very blessed because I had a program, I have a sponsor, I have a meetings to go every day if I need to, and I have support in the community. So the second thing was to be a man. I can't. I even question, well, maybe if I like women or something. But no, I tried to convince me that no, that's not my thing. So I was like, okay, that's not chick. So the third one, it was to have cancer. So December 2016, I was diagnosed with colon cancer in stage 3. And this is not like, oh, I want to be a man, I want to be rich. Oh, yeah, look how conscious I am with my goals. No, this is something that is here in the back, which I assume that here is the subconscious. I don't know, but I always write, so I'm assuming that here is the subconscious part. So I always say that I have a tattoo from the disease of alcoholism in my life. And I have these strange, crazy ideas that I follow a lot of time, and that this program is helping me to stop, to think, to discover that those are my real thoughts. So I went straight to the cancer thing. So December 2016, by in my family, there's a lot of cases of cancer. you know, everybody wants to be popular. There's a lot of competence there. So everybody, for the last 30 years, everybody healed through the homeopathism or to natural ways. No surgeries, no traditional medicine. And some of the family, some members, they were really a little rebellious, and they accept chemotherapy, and then they die. So because I am the daughter of an alcoholic, I have this strong tendency to generalize everything. So I don't care how many people survive around out in the world. My three members in my family die, so that means chemotherapy, traditional medicine, bad, bad, bad. No, I will never accept this kind of help. I was very young when I take that super smart decision, and I say, if sometime in my life any doctor told me you have cancer, I know what to do. I will go with my homeopathic doctor. No surgeries, no nothing like that. So this was something that even that I was in the program, I didn't check with my superior power because I know what to do, right? And so not with my sponsor, not with everybody, don't know what I'm doing. So I took the plane and go to Guadalajara. Yeah, I went for the first world country medicine to my third world, beautiful Mexico, to heal from cancer, right? So I went there, I start the treatment, and I was everything very disciplined. I love to follow rules. I always think that they will put me like a star with saliva here if I do everything good. So I did everything. So in the meantime, Kaiser was calling me and calling me like, please, can you do this? Is your English enough? Are you understanding what is happening? And it was like, come on, I'm understanding. I cannot pronounce very well, but I got it. So it passed 5 months. I did everything my doctor suggests. I have my stepsister, stage 4 breast cancer. She's 9 years survivors. My stepmother, they are all survivors. So why will not work with me? So I came back to Kaiser. They were very professional, very patient with me, and say, what if that doesn't work? And I was like, well, if that doesn't work, I'm yours. You can do whatever with me. But I knew it will work, right? But okay, so I did everything. I came back on May 1st, around May 1st, to check how much and to show them how much my tumor was reduced. It was 7.5 centimeters when they found it. So I want to know how's the thing go. So I went there and I didn't let them to give me anesthesia or nothing, because what if they lie to me or something? Yeah, I need to be in control. So I was with the camera and all this thing, and I was checking everything, right? Well, so the tumor grew 25% more. And they were insisting when they found the tumor on December. They say, you need a surgery immediately on Monday. And I say, how long take that recovery? Just asking. He say, 2 weeks. No, I can't miss my job for 2 weeks. I'm the person who bring the check. No, you don't know my finances. No. So I came back. Then they say, we don't want to make you a surgery anymore. Now you are a stage 4. Your cancer goes through lymphatic nodes and to the liver. So, but whatever you want to do, that's okay, right? And I was like, wait a minute. So it was a big thing. I was totally sure. I was even feeling better and better and more energetic every day. So when I went there, it was like, just give me the results because I know I'm super good. So it was hard. I questioned, am I crazy? God, this superior power are you really there? Or what are you doing? I'm a spiritual person. I have a program. Come on. This is totally no. On June, I start chemotherapy. I was so in fear, but I work with my sponsor and I decide to do the third step. And this time, it was not the first time doing the third step, but this was the first time that it was with no space for nothing. I was surrounded. And not because I was very spiritual, because there was no option, right? It was like, okay, or if you want, I can go to the chemotherapy thing. But for me, in my family, on November, the same year that I was diagnosed, my cousin called me and said, guess what? My dad decided to accept chemotherapy. It will be in those next 2 or 3 weeks, it will be the California Spanish Convention for Al-Anon in LA. And I told her, oh, come on, tell my uncle to wait because I will not be available to go to the funeral. That's how we talk in our family. When somebody say chemotherapy, everybody's like, oh, how will be the funeral? All the family will be together. What jokes are you bringing? And blah, blah, blah. So I don't even want, and I couldn't go to my uncle's funeral because it was the same. So in my mind was like, I know everything. Here again, another case. So I was terrified to go to chemotherapy. So, but once I just decide to put my will and my life in my superior power hands, everything became magical, incredible, magical. It popped up 3 lawyers in my church and they helped me to do my last will. They were not last will lawyers, but they did as much as I can. Then I went to the lawyer who was the last will person. And I say, okay, how much will be for this thing? And he say, oh, your friends did almost everything, so it will be only $1,000. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I say, okay, in credit card or check. And he say, one of your friends already paid. And I was like, what? She's not even my friend. It's somebody from the church, you know? I didn't know how to receive. So then another person that is my friend, and I know she's a lawyer, but I didn't know what she does at work. So she did everything to have medical, to pay the copayments that my work was not paying, but I have that health insurance. So she applied for a lot of papers and things that I have no idea, but that I need to do, and that it's a pain in the butt to do it when you are so sick or blah, blah, blah. And I need to check that because it was just so many things that happened. We don't have any family member in the Bay Area. So at this point, I need to stop working, cooking, cleaning. And my possibilities to survive more than 5 years are 10%. I need to decide if in some moment I am in like a vegetal state, what do I want that they do? Do they want to stay connected for the machines? For how long? Do you want somebody especially be with you the last time? Do you want to, if you die, do you want that they bring you back? All these things. And I was like, oh my gosh, why? I need to solve everything now in case that you and then your husband, ex-husband die. Where do you want that the girls go? Okay, well, okay, let me think on that. Well, this person now called them and say if they want to take your daughters. So it was like one through the other, through the other. And I was in some point angry. I was like, with everything, I feel like, God, I'm okay. I'm ready to go. Cool. But it's not fair for my daughters. I still have one, and it was 15 years old, and the other 11. And I was, come on, how can this happen? And it was magical. I remember the first member of my family who became sick with cancer. And then I thought, in my cousins. My the youngest one have 5 years old when my aunt died. And I say, and what happened with them? They didn't die with my aunt. They are perfectly happy. They have families. Oh my gosh, I said, I'm not the superior power of my daughters. I don't like that too much. But I say, oh my gosh, they have their own superior power. And my daughters will be happy and happy with me and without me. Oh, the other thing is that I have 3 nurses from the program that they disconnect me every 15 days from the chemotherapy tank. I didn't know they were nurses or nothing, but here was my superior power in charge. I have volunteers from my church. I'm Unitarian Universalist, so in my church, there's a lot of people who is atheists. They were driving my daughters to their Alateen meetings every Monday. That was the superior power of my understanding in charge. A lot of people from my work visiting me every week. My boss, who has difficult personality, she cooked for me every week. One organic pescatarian, no dairy dinner every week for 6 months. Every week I receive teachers, staff, people just visiting me. In my church, there was 50 volunteers. There did this website come 50 volunteers just to bring my daughters to the movie theater or to these or to the Alateen meetings to do to bring. One day was Wednesday comedy movies, and they signed to bring me a comedy movie because it was very important that I laugh during all this. Who have those ideas? The superior power of my understanding. With my boss, it was just like a new older sister. That was beautiful. My job, I didn't work instead of for 2 weeks. I didn't work for a year. And my superior power supply. There's no time in my life, even when I have the business and la la la, that my refrigerator is so full that people is calling, do you have space in the freezer? Because I was, no, wait, because I'm still the poor girl inside, right? I was like, no, wait, but I will make some space or something. It was just magical. I have a Latinas club who I was just joined like a year ago or something. They sent $100 cards from Target, money, la la la. And I remember that I cry, and I have this my God box. I didn't know what to do with that money, with those cards, and I put it there. And you have no idea how many times I call my sponsor saying, why they are doing this? I have a little savings, I'm okay, why? And she always told me, why not? You deserve, you can. And I was like, no, I'm okay. I don't need it. It's okay. I didn't know how to receive. And she said, they are not waiting that you feel that you can't pay the next month of your rent. They want that you be not stressed, happy, enjoy. That was the most difficult part, to understand why to receive. And I was thinking, because I was so humble that I can receive, but it was totally opposite, right? Because I can do everything for me. I don't need thank you. But my sponsor helped me to say, and actually she told me, every time somebody gives you money, you will say thank you, and you will accept it. And I still have a friend that I finished chemotherapy in 2017. And she, every time that see me, give me $100. And I'm like, thank you. You know, and but this process, I didn't know to receive, but I didn't know to give to. I work very hard. You want money? Work very hard, just like me and my husband, you know? So when somebody, oh, I need money, they will get it. My group is like, there's a lot of people and giving money. They have enough. They don't need my money, you know? I can need it. I don't know for what, right? So I just can't. I can't give. And it was my superior power who take my hand, bring me to one of these birthday parties and say, this 50-50 raffle, and I won $40. From that money, I start giving to the seventh tradition. Because I don't have it, so it's okay, I can give that, you know, from there. And then I start understanding. And now I work for a school, and when I hear there's some struggle, I easily can take $100 and give it. Because I know my superior power is always supplying, always bringing me abundance. And I'm just working 4 days now, and that doesn't pay my bills yet. But one day it will. And I have a little savings. But I don't know how. It never ends. And it's because my superior power is in charge. So, let me see. Just to close, I want to say that I'm very blessed for just being the daughter of an alcoholic and for having the privilege to live this cancer process with a program, with a superior power, with a sponsor. Because today I learned to feel, to accept that life is life and it's stubborn. But I have options. I can be miserable or I can have as much fun as possible, because life will be the same, but I can enjoy in different way. That my daughters will not die with me. And that for sure, I'm still a stage 4 cancer patient. I'm clean for the grace of God. I'm clean on the colon, clean on the lymphatic nodes, but I still have 4 tumors in my liver. And I know that for sure I will die, but not because of that ridiculous 10% of possibility to survive. I will die because I'm a human being. And I will die. I could die since the first day I was born. Since that day, I have the 100 possibility to die every day. We are all in the line. We just don't know what place do we have. And that's okay. I'm so blessed that because of this program, I have the opportunity to say thank you to the people that I love, to say I love you to my sponsor. I say I love you to the people in my work. They are teachers. My boss, yeah, I love you. And they are like, what the heck with you? I don't care, because I feel that I love them. And I don't know if I have tomorrow to say it or not. I call people that I have 25 years that I don't call them. But I learned from the mom of that boy in junior high, I learned to be a mom. Because my mom was never there. But that mom say, bye, sweetie, I love you. Because of that person, I say to my daughters, bye, sweetie, I love you. I drove them to the school every day. Nobody did that with me. But because of that woman, I call my friend and say, tell your mother thank you for that. Because she impacts my life. And the mom is crying like, oh my God. Da, da, da. And I'm like, okay. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for being that. I ask for forgiveness for people. It was like an accelerator thing for, okay, well, I don't want to forgive. Let me think. I was thinking and thinking for a few years in a program, and this was like helping to speed up. And okay, yeah, I need to do it right now because tomorrow, I don't know. So I'm just so blessed to be conscious that I can die tomorrow or in 100 years. I don't know what this crazy superior power I have, right? Thank you so much for giving me the privilege to stay here. Thank you.